Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I talk to you, this church and the people, wherever, this past Sunday on the subject of true ministry and discipleship and the meaning of it. Now, our Lord said that in the course of life, many are called, but few chosen. Connecting with it, the verse that said, if any man will be my disciple, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The choosing of disciples rests entirely upon the ground of whether that one called is willing to take up that cross, to deny himself. It isn't that God arbitrarily has borne you into the world to go to heaven, to go to hell, to be a worker or not to be a worker, but he calls all men. It is not God's will that any should perish, but those that come under the call of the gospel are called of God, but out of that great calling, then he said that few are chosen. And the reason only a few chosen is because when it gets to be serious business, then most of them check out. When you arrive at the 6th and 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, a great throng of people have followed him by the loaves and the fishes. But when he let them know that it's going to cost something to be my disciple, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me, then a great part of them fell back to a distance. Only a handful remain. It's on these grounds that the choosing takes place. And the choosing is always out of the church. It isn't the calling is out of the world. The choosing of the disciples is out of those that have been called. And God has ordained that all of us be fruitful in the work of God. I chose my text from Philippians. My message is to those in the church, enemies of the cross, Paul called them. Now, when we recognize from what I've just said that the cross is God's instrument for dealing with self, or those desires that are not born of the Spirit, that for which I naturally want to live, those desires and attitudes and passions of the human being that so dominates life. The cross is God's instrument for dealing with that. Paul said, there were people in that church, and if we're to believe that this message is relevant today, that the message to the Philippians was also to the Beaumonters, then we have to believe that he was saying that in the church in all ages, there were people there that were enemies of this cross. Enemies of the cross. They did not want God to deal with their personal lives. They said, I live like I want to live. I keep my secular life separated from my spiritual life. Now, if you can tell me what kind of a grotesque creature that is, I'd be most happy to hear it. But this is the attitude that we have today. They are enemies, Paul said, to this cross. Now, the word enemy, if you look it up, carries with it the thought of hatred. They hated the cross, is what he's saying. They hated. That's what the word enemy. What did they hate? They hated God's dealing with their carnal nature. They hated God dealing with those desires of which they loved. They did not want an interference of God into their own little petty private lives. God was a convenience. They wanted to pray when they wanted to pray. They would go to church when they wanted to go to church. But their life would be spent the way they wanted to spend it. And they hated God's dealing with that life. They were enemies of the cross. Now, I'm just the newsboy throwing it on the doorstep of us Beaumonters or whoever else that may listen to this tape. Enemies of the cross. They hated the cross. They hated anything that would restrict their little lives. They had a world they were going to live. And don't you nor God deal with me on those lines. I'll come when I feel like it. I've had people to tell me that. I've tried to deal with people about praying. I'll pray when I want to pray. Amen. You'll pray when God wants you to pray. And He says you ought always to pray and not faint. But when that life becomes narrowed, and when the message becomes one that pulls us into that straight way that God talked about, then the enemies show up. Words like self-denial, sacrifice, commitment, cause much pain to those that are enemies to the cross. It's a difficult word to say. It's a galling thing to talk about self-denial. One person that left the church said, I left because Brother Clendenin preached too much against self. I believe that God wants us to enjoy ourselves. I believe if I walk in the Spirit, I am in the presence of fullness of joy. He said, in His presence is full joy. At His right hand is pleasure forevermore. The cross is that which deals with that, that interferes with God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul said, the flesh, you, self, lusteth against that which is spiritual. Amen. There's something in me that's against God. Whether I want to believe it or not, there's something in you that's against God. There's a nature that the Bible calls carnal that hates God, hates spiritual things. It wants to go to heaven. It don't want to go to hell. But it does not love God. It doesn't love spiritual things. And the Bible said that nature was always warring against that which is of God. The flesh lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against that self-life, so that the church cannot do what it would. And the cross cleaves right in the middle of that and says you can't be both. You can't stand out there looking cross-eyed, trying to look at the world and God at the same time. You must make up your mind. It's either this way or this way, and it cannot be both. God didn't hire us, He bought us. And now He's saying, I want you, and I want your life, and you never know real freedom till He has it. But to those enemies of the cross, self-denial, sacrifice, commitment, oh, that causes pain. Discipline causes great pain. When you talk about money too much, a great pain comes because the world centers there. Now, the nature of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ is described in these words in my text. Their God is their belly. That's the Apostle Paul's word, or the Holy Spirit's through the Apostle Paul. They hate that which would deal with them because the nature, their nature is, their God is their belly, and this translates, they live for themselves. Amen. They live for themselves. If the neighbor goes to hell, so be it. If the children don't get saved, that's their tough luck. Amen. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. Don't talk to me about coming to no Saturday night prayer meetings. Don't talk to me about no Tuesday and Thursday fasting. Amen. Their God is their belly. That is the nature of those that Paul said was the enemy of the cross. Their God is a convenience. It's wonderful when I'm in trouble to have a God that I can run to. But when I'm doing well, then leave me alone, God. Don't bother me about these trivial matters. I'm going to live like I want to live. When I get sick, or when the children get sick, or there's trouble somewhere, I'll come. Otherwise, just don't bother me, God. That is people whose God is their belly. They live for themselves. Their whole attitude is that. Oh, yes. Man told me, he said, I hate missionary services. I can understand, I said. Yes, sir. I can understand why you hate missionary services. Amen. Because you live for yourself. They accept greedily whatever God offers. They can delight in the promises with great desire, but despise the commandments. Love the promises of God. Can shout when God says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. But are awfully upset when He brings us to a place of commitment. Amen. And begins to tell us what we must do as disciples. You see, the nature is they live for themselves. They love the sweet. They despise the bitter. Whatever is good in the gospel, they accept readily. But when it comes where it is eaten, the pertinence too. You know, that lamb that was slain in Egypt. They were to kill that lamb, eat it, pertinence and all. Amen. Don't you just carve you off the rump roasts and the nice little lamb chops. No, no. You eat the whole of it. The bitter as well as the sweet. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's the gospel as much as any other part of the gospel. That is the gospel. And you, those that despise the cross, will stand up in protest when you begin to deal that this is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you everything that you are personally. Amen. Because God is coming to be your Lord. Amen. If any man's going to be mine, then he must deny himself, is what God is saying. He has dealt with me strongly about this word disciple in the Bible. It's been used pervertedly by the Jim Jones and maybe the Mumfords and others. But it still doesn't take the responsibility of a commitment to God and to his cause away from us. Amen. It means just this, that I submit myself to God and his will becomes my only ground for living. Amen. Whatever he desires, then that must be my desire. Now, the entire life of the cross of despisers is governed by the statement, they mind earthly thing. Their nature is their God, is their belly. They live for themselves, and the whole of their lifestyle is governed by Paul's statement here in Ephesians 3:19. They mind earthly things. They are of the earth, earthly. They've never moved into that realm where this is a spiritual world. Theirs is still an earthly world, just all of this in heaven too. Amen. Never involved. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to be raptured is the spiritual. You hear me? Only that which is spiritual. It is the spiritual content that shall be caught in that moment, not the carnal. We were in our Bible lesson this morning dealing with the fact that we are a generation void of great spiritual giants. There are none on the horizon. We've got a lot of ministries that are heard and seen by millions, but spiritual giants, they're not. They're fad chasers. If it's not angels, it's leg stretching. If they're not teaching how to talk in tongues, they'll teach you how to dance, just whichever way the winds are blowing. But we're totally void in this generation of great spiritual giants. Amen. We don't have them. Amen. There is a void on the horizon today for that kind of a thing. We have that which is built, a kingdom, right here on this earth. It isn't going to get any higher for the most part because it minds earthly things. Its interest is in this life, a kingdom right here. No sacrifice is too great if that sacrifice is to be made for me. I mean, there's no problem in me giving $250 a month for a car if I want a new car. But don't talk to me about giving $250 a month that people that never heard about Jesus may hear him. I live for the earth. I'm talking about the cross despiser. No problem whatsoever. The sacrifice is never too great if that sacrifice involves this earth and what I want. Oh, no, I can get up at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, go fishing. If I like fishing, that's no problem. Oh, going hunting, it's zero weather, and it's going to be bad. Dress for it now. But I couldn't make it to Sunday school this morning. You know that weather's down. There's a lot of flu out, too. You know that, don't you? I mean, there's a lot of flu out, and this, this, that, and the other, and I couldn't make it. No, Mama was having trouble. I couldn't make it. But everywhere else, I mean, Aunt Sue's had come in, and we just couldn't get out. But no problem anywhere else. Whatever we wanted to do, we did. Mind earthly things. I'm talking about those that despise the cross. That interferes with what you want to do. That interferes with my desires and sets them aside and makes God real. No sacrifice is too great if it's centered in this earth. I can make it. Amen. I can do it. Yes, sir. Want a bigger house? But you know the interest rate's 15%. That's all right. Amen. I mean, I believe I deserve a better house. My family, well, the payment's going to be $675 a month. We'll do the best. We'll make it. We may have to cut down here or there. But don't you talk about cutting down here or there. Amen. That somebody may know about Jesus. Don't you talk about that then. I mean, that's a different story. I don't believe I could do. I mean, just not going to be able to do that. No, no. Great effort and energy and money is spent without complaint to gratify our own. No problem. Amen. I'll tell you, I've hunted with this old gun for 6 years. I got a new one down there. It's $500. I need a new gun. And the Lord understands that I need a new gun. Yes, He does. Amen. Yes, He does. And you understand you do. And there's no sacrifice at all to get it. Amen. But don't talk about a $500 commitment. Amen. That man that never heard the name of Jesus may hear the name of Jesus. Don't talk about that. Great. There's no real passion for the spiritual. That's the problem. Amen. They are the earthly. The comforts of life are more important to them than the souls and the spiritual well-being of others. Those that despise the cross. Their nature is God is their belly. They mind earthly things. They're more interested in their own comforts than they are in the spiritual life, maybe of the community or the souls of men. These are despisers of the cross. These are despisers of the cross. We may not recognize it. The loss of the first love is made evident by a loss for the desire for the spiritual. Amen. No real passion. You can see a great excitement in people about certain things. And the interest of life will stir up a tremendous excitement in the souls of a lot of church people. But there's never that great excitement for spiritual things. There's not that groaning in the altar that earnestly covets the best gifts of God. That you don't hear that. Amen. Today on a slot machine fashion, they pass it out. But the Bible says earnestly. Covet earnestly the best gifts. That you don't see the passion for the spiritual. The Bible said God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And the only grounds for that was Esau was a better man. He could have joined any Pentecostal church. He didn't smoke, chew, drink, or run around. He was a homeboy, a homebody. Amen. He fit the mold of holiness right down the line. But he didn't like that which is spiritual. Amen. He would sell it for his own belly. His God was his belly. He lived for himself. And if he had to sacrifice the spiritual for the carnal, give me the bowl of beans, he said. I'd rather have something gratify me now. You know the reason he wasn't too sure about heaven. That was his problem. He wasn't altogether sure whether there's going to be any such thing. His faith hadn't got beyond right here. God is a convenience. Like Ananias and Sapphira, we'll give him a half of it. But if this thing falls through, we still got something to lay back on. There wasn't that commitment. And Esau sold the spiritual for the carnal, and God hated him. But Jacob, he loved. Jacob's name meant he was crooked, but he would do anything, risk his own life, and though his method wasn't orthodox, yet God saw in his heart a desire for the spiritual that made him a prime subject for the kingdom of God. He could be used because everything else was secondary to the kingdom of God. Everything. No matter what it was. Amen. Whatever it cost me. 20 years away from home. Have to flee from home and mother and dad. Everything is lost but one thing. That's that spiritual birthright. He got that. That's what he wanted. The cost didn't matter. Just so I can have that which is of God. Oh, it said of those early ones, they love not their lives unto death. Little trivial matters never turned them. Nothing could turn their plow. They had saw God. The young prophet Elisha for 8 years followed the old prophet. For what? For what he had felt in that cotton patch. That's what. He had had a touch of God. And everything else was secondary. Farms, houses, wives, children, everything else was secondary. I want what my heart is after. And no cost was too great. No cost was too great. Pentecost in its meaning and value for any time, today or 2,000 years ago, stands over against the background of the cross. They despised the cross. He said, I've told you once before, I do tell you weepingly now, that they despise the cross. Amen. Their God is their belly. They live for themselves. They don't want anything to interfere with that. Their whole attitude is earthly things. And the cross cuts that off. Amen. It's things that got that first pair in trouble. It's things that's kept the church in trouble. It's a theology that always talks about you being rich. The Bible said, they that be rich lay for themselves a snare. Amen. God makes you rich, that's fine. But if your goal is there, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're looking for the wrong God. You can't serve God and mammon. And if your whole goal is things, you're serving mammon. You can't serve both of them. Amen. What God gives, He said, seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He'll add these things to us. Now the cross in all times stands against the background of the cross. The cross which Christian disciples and apostles lost everything of this world. That's right. The cross. It stands against the Pentecost that came. Stood against the background of that cross. The cross in which the apostles and the disciples, those early ones, lost everything of this world. That cross cost them everything. First of all, they lost their Christ after the flesh. It would be mighty good if we could lose Him. Amen. We want a Santa Claus out of it. It would certainly be wonderful if we could get our attention turned once more toward the eternal. They lost their Christ after the flesh. Two, that cross cost them their kingdom of God after the flesh. Three, that cross cost them their own lives, reputations, hopes, expectations, and cost them their faith so far as anything of God being bound up with the earth was concerned. They had no faith toward that no more. Once that cross had done its work, there's a cleavage between this world, and Peter could write, we are pilgrims and we're strangers. He could say we are a holy nation. We live among nations, but we are a distinct culture. Amen. We are a different people. We do not mind earthly things. We are of spirit from heaven. Amen. We're not of the earth earthly anymore. Their own souls were crucified when Christ died. Amen. They died. Amen. They died with Him. The hopes of this life, the kingdom that they look, will Thou at this time, they said, restore the kingdom. Their desire was a kingdom of God on this earth. But immediately, His crucifixion dashed that asunder. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons placed in God's hand, but you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, say, follow God. Walk with God. It isn't a quest of things and pleasures of this world, but to walk with God. The man Christ uses is the fruit of His cross. Listen, the man or the woman that Christ uses is the man or the woman that is the fruit of His cross, born of travail. The Bible said, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And the man or the woman that God will use, I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm talking about disciples of the Lord. And the man or woman that Christ uses is the fruit of His cross, born of travail. They do not mind earthly things. He is a crucified, buried, and risen man in union and identification with Christ. And His only glory is the glory of the head. Not to be seen of men, but that Christ may be seen in us. The only glory is the glory of the head. Amen. That man in union with Christ has died to his own ambitions, and he has ambitions only for that one which is to come. Eric Hoffer, in that little book by that waterfront philosopher, the true believer, made this dramatic statement, that the true believer, no matter whether in any mass movement, whether it be religious or otherwise, is that man or woman who are willing to sacrifice the present for the future. That is the earmark of a true believer. Those and their revolutionary drives that died along the trail and never saw the fruit counted it worthy because they believed where they were going was right. Their life didn't count. They were willing to sacrifice the present for the future. The true believer of Christ is a man, the woman, has caught a glimpse of an eternal weight of glory. And whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice, whatever the hurt that may come and walk in that will is well worth the price, because they can say it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Enemies of the cross, whose God is their belly and their whole soul interest primarily is earthly things. It is that people that can see beyond this little parenthetical time and see a gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth and says, whatever cost, I'm willing to pay that others may know Him. I want you to bow your head.